we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here. All righty, we're here again with David Wright. Round three, baby. What's
is
up, dude?
Is it three?
This is three.
Wow.
What are you drinking? That's awesome. Coffee?
Yeah, bro. I just drank my last beer, so I thought I turned to coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Spice
right?
things up a little bit. Gonna dude. Stay awake for the drive home.
So, all right. Dave Wright, for who hasn't heard his previous episodes, he lives in upstate New York, does Adirondack Outdoor Adventures.
Let me stop you for a second here. We'll touch on the subject as of right now.
Hiatus.
Unemployed in the charter business as of right now.
Gotcha.
So a long story.
Correction
officer David Wright. Yes, Officer Wright to you. Anyways, yeah, so keep going. We'll talk more on that.
All right. So tell me about the gun bash. There was a gun bash that just happened on upstate New York. Where was that? Lions Ball or something?
It was right in Clayton, New York. It's the 7th annual Ducks Unlimited North Country Gun Bash is what it is.
What is it for?
Basically conservation. It's Ducks Unlimited. That's what Ducks Unlimited is. That's its slogan. It's all about conservation. It's making money. People rolling out their pocketbooks and their bank rolls and everything like that, spending a bunch of money to not only just save ducks, but to save the land itself.
So is that something you put on or help?
I was a volunteer.
Okay.
With Ducks Unlimited. So there's four or five different chapters. So say Watertown, the St. Lawrence Valley chapter, there's the Clayton chapter, Carthage chapter, and I believe, don't quote me, but I believe the Loudville chapter, they'll probably kick my ass if I say this wrong, but yes, there was four or five different chapters involved in this with multiple volunteers.
So what does the event consist of?
The event consists of a lot of people, lots of beer, lots of food, and lots of guns to be raffled. Hence gun bash.
So does Ducks Unlimited give those to, or how do they get the guns that they're auctioning off?
So there's 3,500 tickets that are sold.
Okay.
So with those 3,500 tickets, you're included in what we call the main event is what it is. So there's 100 guns raffled off. There's one or two guns every 2 minutes that you pull out of this big tumbler, so on and so forth. And I read off names. I actually was the MC. I was the MC. I ran it. See, look at this, buddy. Right there.
I know my hair is awful.
So I was the MC. I ran the microphone the whole time, called the names, called the tickets. But what it is it's basically to make money for Ducks Unlimited to actually save on land, save acreage,
do they buy the land up and then put it like preserve it or something?
Not necessarily. They do, but they also like rehabilitate places that may have been farmland in the past, or it was property that's overgrown at this point. It used to be, you know, wetlands of some sort, and it's rehabilitated into its natural state is what they do. So it's millions and millions of acres. I'm not going to get into the exact numbers of it, but it's millions and millions and millions of acres that they've saved since they've been around. So, but the gun bash basically is a huge event that we do in the North Country. And there's between, you know, just shy of 1,700 people walked in the door on last Saturday.
Okay. What, $35 a ticket, you said?
it was $25 a ticket. There's 3,500 people. I mean, I'll just give you a ballpark. It was a $300,000 gross day for Ducks Unlimited.
Oh shit. Okay.
$300,000. Yeah. So basically there's $150,000 in ticket sales. You know, $141,000 in cash came through the door. There was 151 guns raffled off.
Dude, yes.
151 guns. There were 9 big prizes with this main event. So there was like 42-inch Toro zero turns. There were 2 500 Ranger 4x4s, like ATVs or UTVs, I should say. So 2 of those. There was, there was a steel package with chainsaws and weed whackers and all that other stuff. Okay. Too. So, yeah.
So is it just like a bunch of booths of people displaying what they have?
It's one big stage where I sit up top.
Okay.
So picture just a big square room. It's a big ice arena. It's the Clayton Arena right in Clayton, New York.
Okay.
And it's just a square floor with a bunch of tables out there. And in each back corner, like back right, back left, there's a beer truck with like 6 or 8 taps on it. And also food with hamburgers, hot dogs, stuff like that. In the left corner, the same thing. So Blue Light was on the right, Miller Light was on the left.
All right.
And so we also do.
We're actually sponsored by Miller Light.
I don't know. I mean, we could be sponsored by Miller
Light. We are. Oh, Miller Light and Bud Light.
Miller Light. Huge. Blue Light. You know, anyways.
I forgot to plug them the other day.
Oh, shoot. You know what? Hey, listen, don't forget our other sponsors, too. You know, the Adams Center Market here in Adams Center, New York. Craig Bennett.
Yep.
Going out, baby.
Yeah, dude. He's our biggest sponsor.
He is. Absolutely, man. I tell you what, I'd give my left hand to that guy because I need my right when I'm right handed. You know, especially in the bathroom. I'm ambidextrous, so don't worry about that.
You ever try to wipe left-handed? Anyway,
yes, I have. It does not work.
Did you poke through or what? Well, you couldn't get the right angle.
Totally miss. It's on my palm. I don't even know how it gets there when you're wiping with your fingers. You know what I mean? It's so strange.
All right, gun bash. You know? Go for it.
Gun bash. Yes, back to it. So there's also like side raffles there as well too. So you're not just buying a ticket for $25 and coming in, and actually what's included is that beer and food. So the $25 gets you all the beer you can drink, all the food you can eat. On the side, there's also what they call blitz raffles. So there's a blue wall with guns and there's a black wall with guns. Don't take offense to that, please. But there is a black wall of guns. Can I say that?
I mean, I don't think it's offensive.
Okay, good. Anyways, so.
Oh, no, a black wall of guns.
Yeah. Wow. So he's basically, you get people, so they're $10 and $20 tickets. So for every $120, for every 120 tickets that we sell at that price, we'll raffle off another gun. So example, the blue wall, we raffled an additional 28 guns on the blue wall.
So that's
every 120 tickets sold, we raffle another gun.
So are the guns just sitting there on the wall, like mounted? Yep.
They're not mounted. Mm-hmm. We have them on stands and stuff, so they can come and touch them and grab them and see it, sight it, whatever you got to do.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's – and also the black wall is a little bit steeper price, better quality gun. That's $20 a ticket, and it was 120 tickets. We raffled 18 extras of those as well. So on top of that, there's a Yeti cooler wall. There's a pyramid of Yeti coolers, like 120 quart Yeti coolers over there.
Okay.
We raffled off 40 of those as well, too. So those are $10.
This is a big old deal.
It's huge. So we had the biggest name. Sorry about my crying child. You're good. Over there. Can you hear her?
Feed her, bro.
I did, man. She ate 2 pieces of fish, man. She had some mac salad, some coleslaw. I feel like I'm down in the South right now. So the Yeti cooler wall, another thing, but that's it. So all in all, it's basically just, we do it in the March period because there's really nothing going on. There's no ice fishing. Ice fishing's done. There's no hunting. Hunting's not done. Or hunting's all done, you know, the ducks and the deer and all that stuff. So we're just getting out of this winter funk, coming into the spring. And, you know, when we first started this 7 years ago, the record number for attendees in New York State was 600 people.
Oh, wow.
600 people. And that was in New York City. So compare it to Clayton, New York, where we get everybody from the tri-county area. I mean, I'm talking, well, even in, you know, a four county radius, there's people coming from everywhere. They were lined up at the door. Doors open at noon, 11 o'clock. There was a line to the parking lot. I mean, it was, there was 200 people standing in line at 11 o'clock. It's wild. People, like, you put, you know, I was talking to the head volunteers, one of the head organizers for this whole thing. And he goes, I put 250 tickets out at my store, just in a pile. And I asked my cashier just to sell the tickets. If somebody asked, in 4 days, they were gone, 250 tickets. Wow. I mean, it's very, and there's only, like I said, there's 3,500 tickets. So it's a scarce commodity, but it's a hot commodity at the same time, because you can also pay your way in at the door at $25. You're paying for the booze, the food, and you're paying for all the blitz raffles on top of it, because you have better odds to win those blitz raffles than you would actually being in that main event with 109, you know, prizes to win.
Gotcha. So is this happening in the same place every year, Clayton, every year?
Every year, the Clayton Marina there, the volunteer. Oh, that's another thing too. The Clayton Volunteer Fire Department puts on a 50-50 raffle.
Yeah.
And fuck you if the IRS is listening, but it was 20 fucking grand this year. 20
Holy
grand.
Holy shit.
Dude, that's how many people walked. There were 1,600 people that walked through the door. So get back to my point.
Someone walked away on a 50-50 with 20 grand.
No, they walked out with 10 grand. But
the total.
Yeah, correct. The total for the 50-50 was 20 grand. I think the last time it was 18,000 when we were in person. We've been MIA for 2 years because of COVID.
Yeah, so this was the first
year that we've been back in 2 years. And we've been virtual since, and it's been good. But we don't have a chance for any of those blitz raffles or any of those side tables, side bets, anything like that. So
you did the last year, you did one remotely?
Virtual, yeah. We did it on Facebook Live, and we rolled the tumbler and just said the names.
I bet that turnout was half as much.
There was 200 people online viewing it. That was it. Because they knew if their name was called, they're still going to get a phone call. Obviously, you don't have to be there in person to win. But just for what's there, you know, the extras, you know, not only the people, but also, you know, obviously beer and food for $25, all you can eat and drink, man. It's, you know, it gets the attention of some people. But, you know, I was saying again, that New York City attendance, the first year, it was only, you know, just we beat the record, but it was only by like 80 people. It was like 680 people or something like that. The next year, the second year, and I'm pulling these numbers from my head. I'm not 100%, you know, direct on these numbers, but it was, you know, 800 the next year. And then it bumped up the third year, man. It was like 1200 people walked in the door. Nice. So we beat New York City numbers. Now we're not beating, you know, net numbers. We're not beating the big, huge dollar numbers that, you know, 600 people at a New York City dinner will bring in $1.5 million.
Yeah.
That, their net's going to be, you know, $500,000. You know what I mean? I mean, we'll make off with maybe a net of 80 to 100 grand. Maybe less than that. So, I mean, but that's going back to the chapters. That's going back to actually making more or giving us more money for our events, say dinners, also gun blitzes, stuff like that. Just different events that you set up to actually raise money for Ducks Unlimited. So Ducks Unlimited would probably walk out of this with, I don't know, a lot of money. I mean, it's a huge deal up here. Yeah. North Country Gun Bash. Cool. This is the seventh annual, and I've run the microphone for
MC Dave.
Five out of the 7 years, man. So,
dude, that beard is on point though.
Yeah. Here, listen, let me just do this real quick. Ready? There you go.
Oh my.
Let me get some light in here. So yeah.
You look like Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye.
Oh, really?
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't know. I have to look.
You gotta look him up. You kind of got that beard that you have.
I don't watch a lot of TV. I really don't. You know, unless I'm stuck watching. Oh God, Katie's on this new kick. It's Blind Love or something.
Oh, we just started watching MasterChef first season.
We just watched. Is it cake? Is it cake?
I saw that. Is that good?
Dude, it's good. It is, but it's kind of cheesy. I will tell you, the cakes are unbelievable. I mean, they're
nuts. Oh, dude, because yeah, I saw the preview with the bowling ball and the cake.
And it's,
you can't it's tell legit. Difference.
You can't.
It's like the and Lego yes, show, man. I like that Lego show on there with Will Arnett, bro.
He's funny. He is hilarious.
Have you and seen that thing, that murder mystery show on there with him?
No.
Okay, so he gets celebrities on there, and it's all improv. So he plays a detective, and each episode they have to solve a murder. So every episode, it's a new celebrity guest that's his partner. But they don't have a script. So he's just like, you know, they're just going improv and the whole thing. And they have Marshawn Lynch on one of the episodes. It's so fucking funny.
God, dude. That's got to actually, I think I have seen, the previews for that. I have.
Watch it. It's funny. Watch the one of Marshawn Lynch. It's funny.
Dude, I'll have to watch it. Definitely.
But so, Will Arnett, I love Will Arnett, man. He's so funny.
He's hilarious. And I think he's underrated, honestly. I really think he is. I mean,
he's the best Batman.
Yeah.
Lego.
Yes. Yep. He is. That's the best part about it, too. You know what I mean? You never see his face, but you know who it is.
Yep. Dude, what happened to your charter thing? What's going on with that?
Oh, well, yeah, let's get to that. So I called the guy I've run the boat for the last 5 years, you know, 2 weeks ago, and he's like, I'm just not feeling it. He had an accident. Probably 3 years ago now, there's actually a boat that that actually sank, one of his boats. He was on it at the time.
Oh, no shit.
I mean, crazy, crazy mess. I get it.
What happened?
The live well check valve on the boat that's under the water line failed, and it filled the live well up, and it actually ended up filling into the back of the boat, and it sank the boat.
Oh, all right.
So 150 feet of water off of Oswego. Hopefully he's not listening. Yeah. Oh, bad. Bad news. So he really hasn't gotten over it.
The bilge won't automatically kick on and fucking pump that out.
It was by the time the bilge kicked on, it was too long gone.
Wow.
I mean, you got 1,000 gallons in the back of the boat. That boat will hold, you know, 30,000 gallons probably in its hole. You know what I mean? 20,000 gallons. Yeah. So
yeah.
I mean, he started to take on water. So they started the engines. And they were listing pretty good. And he went to take off and the boat just went, you know, right to its back. And it literally sank in about 45 seconds. It really, the engines went underwater, he says, and the boat went right up. The bow went right up in the air and it literally sank in about 45 seconds, 30, 45 seconds. Yeah, it's gone.
Titanic. Unreal. And he didn't go down with it, huh? Like a G.
He almost did. He got caught in the rope, man. Like,
oh, really?
Legit. Yeah, he's like 15 feet underwater by the time he got himself off the rope. I swear
what?
To God.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
Dude, this is like movie shit. I'm not lying to you. This is like, you're
lying to me.
No, you could write a movie. You could literally fucking write a movie, bro. It's, you know, it gives me chills because you're out in the water. I mean, that's your life. That's your livelihood. And I mean, for something, thank God. I mean, this is my, oh my God, this is my 20th season coming up. Like literally 20 years I've been doing this. And I've never, ever even seen or heard of anything like that happening ever. I mean, you hear it. That's,
yeah, it's right. One in you a million. It, but then it's you're one like, in it a million. Won't be me, baby.
No, it won't. And then it happens to somebody close to you. And, you know, it's, you're like, man, like I better check everything. I mean, I do a boat check every time I get on the boat, make sure there's no water inside of the bilge, make sure there's no obviously running water that's coming in from the hull, anything like that. I mean, you don't really do a hull check every single time, but I mean, you don't get in the water and check it in April. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But to know that water was coming in is, I mean, you don't use live wells in Lake Ontario. You don't, you're using artificial baits, spoons, you know, flashers.
So that's not even something you guys even checked, huh? It was just something that was just,
yeah,
part
just
of the
something
boat.
Probably used, yeah, used as an ice chest or something like that, you know, whatever. But yeah, he hasn't really recovered mentally and also financially from it, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
And again, he's a very God, I can't even think of the word right now. I'm sorry, Steve. He's a very established businessman in here in the North Country. He runs a very good business. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's hurting from that, because that's totally different business from what he runs now.
Yeah.
And he hasn't recovered in his mind as a businessman that says, hey, listen, this isn't making any sense anymore to keep going, because I'm losing money every year, because the insurance never took care of it. It's a long story. So all in all, let's say he lost 50 grand, when that boat went down.
That's a big hit. That's a nice hit.
Yeah, that's a huge hit. So, anyways, so
he's not doing it. And so are you going to break off on your own at all? Or
I'm not, well, that? I wanted to buy the boat, or make a deal with him to say, hey, listen, I'll pay you this much for 2 years and you'll be paid out in full.
Yeah.
But he already had a buyer that's got cash in hand. And I mean, kudos to him. I'd take the money and run, what I'm saying?
Yeah. Instead of dealing with it over a long period of time.
Yeah. I do have other people that I can work with. I can't say that I'm actually working specifically for one person. But yes, I still will be chartering this year.
So why don't you sell your own? Why don't you get your own boat? What's the deal with that?
That was my retirement plan. That's 25 years in the business of corrections, and I'll have a charter boat, within 18 or 20 years, and I'll be running it on my own. Okay. And by the time I'm done, I'm 55 when I'm done, and then from there on out, it's, full bore with the charter business. I can run 100 trips a year, 120 trips a year.
Gotcha. Instead of doing. So you're using this as a jumping off point, because you have a retirement, a pension,
health
benefits, and stuff like that.
25 years, these guys are going to be, 75, 80 years old, granted, they're still going to be alive, but they're not going to want to run a business. Yeah, they're going to be retired. And I'll take over the reins, which that was my plan. Maybe a new boat from there, whatever it is. I would still have a buyout plan for them to say, this is what I'd like to do in, 20 years.
Yeah. Okay.
But unfortunately he just, I get it. And he just wanted to be out. And like I said, he had a buyer with cash and and I get it. And that's the thing. Like I said, that's why I work for other people as well too. They've got other boats that I can run.
Yeah.
Obviously it's not the boat that I ran. It's not like the one that I set up, but I can, you go out and you do the same thing. You're on the same speeds, the water temperatures, you catch fish, So, and it's fishing, not catching. So I can't guarantee it. No, there are no guarantees in fishing.
Yeah. Right. Dude, that mullet you got going on. How long have you been growing that hair out? What's going on there?
I don't know, actually, now to tell you the truth. I mean, I could probably go through my photos and check, but I don't know. 4 months, maybe? 4 months, 5 months?
No way. 4 months?
Yeah, same with the beard. 4 or 5 months.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. This
donate that. Cut it off. When you cut your hair, donate it to me.
I will put it in a package, and I will send it to your door, and then we will have an opening on your podcast right here.
Yes.
Oh, hey, listen, buddy, I got you a present. Make sure you call me and let me know when you're going to do a podcast. Don't open it until then. You're going to forget this.
Right.
You're literally going to have
hair.
A mullet wig, a perfect mullet wig. I'm going to get it done for you.
You better, dude. You got to play Dell. You're going to be Dell.
Dude, listen, just give me some freaking hydrogen peroxide. I will freaking dye my hair blonde.
So to put context in this, Dell is a janitor from one of our from our high school.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are currently writing a screenplay about Watertown High School and a game called Assassins that we used to play in high school. And Dell is one of the characters in there. And Dell, let's describe Dell. If you could describe Dell in a few sentences, what would it be?
All right. So I would take Fabio. All right. I would take Fabio, get wonderful blonde locks that are probably to your shoulders. Dell actually has this it's weird because I honestly think he dyes his hair now. It's like a black beard, unless he mixed up the Just for Men gel in the aisle. take Fabio, long, luscious blonde locks, and then put him in tan Timberland boots with white socks above, and shorts year-round. Shorts.
Year-round. Year-round.
Year-round, dude.
Please elaborate on year-round shorts. Because what does the temperature get in upstate New York?
20 below zero. 20 below zero.
And you'll see this guy out there on a lawnmower and 20 below zero.
And a snowblower, bro. And a snowblower.
And mowing the lawn. And like doing a cap on it. He's snowblowing and mowing, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be running around his diesel Kubota, dude. Just hair flowing. And so throw like a button down, like UniFirst. Uniform shirt on that says Dell. Yeah. It says Dell.
Make sure there's about five buttons unbuttoned, so the chest hair is popping, baby. Chest you hairs. Need that.
He literally has the six button, and that's it. There's only one button that's buttoned on that thing. So reverse it, and it's like a Mexican M13 gang guy up top, and then just button the bottom one. He's got his own gang. It's called Delbert 315.
Oh, dude, one of my favorite quotes from Dell is because every season we'd have to get a pep talk from Dell on how to maintain the field properly.
Yeah.
And he comes out with his short shorts and his chest popping and his mullet.
Yeah, 7-inch shorts, by the way. 7-inch shorts. Yeah, not even like the Niners, bro. Not even like knee high. Dude, they were 7-inch shorts, man.
With his wonderful socks, everything popping.
Yep.
He goes, I'm Dell. I used to do pornos. Now I do fields. And you're like, what, dude?
I used to do pornos. Now I do fields. Now, boys, just listen. You have to understand that I'm not here to fuck around. All right? Oh, man. We asked him one day. So you know, there's a mystery behind that whole thing, and there's myths, you know what I mean? There's the conspiracy theorist behind all this, you know, like Dell was definitely a porn star.
Oh no, I want to believe it. I want that to be
true. I would love for it to be true. And one of the quotes, I mean, I say quotes, but they're like Sethisms, you know what I mean? I think we've already gone over Seth in one of these episodes.
So. Yeah, Sethisms.
Yes. So Dell was like, hey, bud, come here. And then we're like, hey, listen, man, were you really a porn star? He's like, yeah. He goes, I walked onto the set one day and there was a girl just getting it from a horse, he says. And I think he's just sitting there like, fuck with us. We were like fucking 16, 17 years old. You know that. He's like, that horse was balls deep in this girl. I swear to God, he says. I'm like, oh my God, what? What did I get myself into? I said, no, shut up. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. He goes, I was never a porn star. Everybody thinks with this hair, you know, and he's like running his fingers through his hair. He goes, everybody just said that's just the rumor around school, guys. Come on, let's get back to work. I don't get away from me, he says. I'm like, but he played it so well, and then he gets so frustrated with the fact that, like, hey, listen, dude, I mean, I would run with it.
Yeah, right. Go for it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Is he still working at the school? Is he still there?
Oh yeah.
No way, dude.
Oh yeah. Dude, and listen, the funny thing is with that guy. He's like, what's the movie where he reverses in age? He goes old from young.
Benjamin Buttons, baby.
Listen, man, he has not aged a freaking day. I swear to God. Swear to God.
15 years?
Yeah, at least. I'm 33. What are you, 33?
30 fucking something, bro. Four?
Yeah.
I think I'm 34. 34?
Oh, yeah. I'm 33. I'll be 34 in May. Like next month and a half. Anyways. At least.
So whatever, Seth, I don't do math, speaking of Sethisms, so yes. Seth is a guy from South Carolina that I lived across the street from. He is one crazy motherfucker, and he's the bomb. Biggest heart of anybody you'll ever meet. We'll do drop, take the shirt off his back for you. But so literally, he sends me a message the other day. Of him on his boat in the water in South Carolina in the Atlantic Ocean.
The transom fall off?
So he goes, I'm out on the boat, out on the water. Good day. Yeah. And then next photo, dude, his face all fucked up in a neck brace. This was like 20 minute span in a neck brace, face, lacerations all over, all fucked up from head to toe. Neck brace says today was not a good day.
Bro, did he run into an oyster field?
Yeah, ran into an oyster bed. Boom, baby. Fucking face planted in the oyster bed. Fractured his ocular socket. Freaking had just bleeding. Oh, like last, God. He had to get like 50 stitches or something. But he had lacerations all the way. I mean, he's like, dude, luckily my phone didn't fall out of the boat. He's like, I had to call people to come pick me up out of the water.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude, he goes, it's salt water. So it was a full moon, and he always tells me, he's like, because there's that in Port Royal, South Carolina, where he lives, there's a little overlook type thing, like a pier type thing that you can walk up.
Yeah. Plus they have the largest tidal swings in the world at like 15 feet. Like,
we always wanted to jump off that thing. He's like, do not jump off that unless it's full moon high tide. So it was a full moon and the tide was out all the way, and so it was out even more, so the same spot that he usually goes over was just a little bit shallower, and whoop-bam, scorpion done.
Bro, the scorpion got the best of his face, it sounds like. Oh my God.
Oh dude,
no,
terrible.
No,
terrible. Horrible. But like 20 minutes, dude. Man, today was awesome. That's awesome day out on the water.
Yeah,
it was not there. A good day.
No. Nah. Oh man, yeah, great guy, man. I mean, we messed tight. Soon, I'll never forget it when we pulled in, and we literally went to his barn, and he literally had like dead bodies hanging from the ceiling in his barn. I was afraid to walk in there, and I was like, you know what? I think we're gonna get along pretty well. And right to the end, man. Right to the very last second that I thought we were gonna sink the boat, that transom was holding on by a fucking cunt hair, bro.
So describe and, that situation you're talking about. What put it into context here. What are we talking about?
Dude, we're in the intercoastal and we're going 3 miles one way to the Atlantic, man. Literally to the Atlantic, like 3 miles. And what's the army base or the Marine base
Island.
There?
Paris Island.
Dude, they're shooting it. I mean, we're 5 miles from Paris Island or something like that.
We're right there. Yeah. We're right on the
I mean, the as the crow flies, it was fucking 5 miles maybe. Anyways, long story short is we're coming home, and mind you, the fucking sand fleas ate the shit out of Ian's face.
Yeah.
He woke up, he looked like he got fucking stung by 100 bees, dude, and he was allergic to them.
He already looks like that.
Yeah, true. Very true. So we're on our final trip back, and I noticed the transom was starting to separate from the back of the boat from like the first trip. And I was like, Seth, I was like, bro, I was like, this doesn't look good. 25 horse Yamaha, whatever was on it. Yeah. This thing, he built this boat himself, right? Is that correct?
It was out of plywood, yes.
Out of plywood. So it was like a Carolina skiff, but homemade. Fiberglass and everything. It was good. It was good.
Oh, yeah, it was set up. It was good.
So anyways, transom starting to separate. And we're on like trip two, like, like mile and a half in. And I'm like, Seth, dude, there's a fucking inch between the gunnel now and the transom. That's like a space, dude. Like we're going to lose the fucking transom. We're going to sink this fucking boat. And also just realize this, that it is packed to the max with
everything
shit.
That we own,
everything. Tents, backpacks, fucking, I mean, everything, food, grills, fishing poles, fishing gear, everything.
Nothing and but that's every trip.
So third trip back, man, I think Saboro was with us, honestly.
He was freaking out.
Oh, I was like, Seth, and it was, the tide was going out. So there's oyster shells everywhere. So we got to go in and out of these oyster shells. It's not a straight shot at this point.
Nope.
And we're like a fucking quarter mile away from the boat launch. I can see the boat launch. And at this point, the engine weight on the transom has pulled the transom off of the boat about 4 inches. like 4 inches, man. And I'm like, dude, don't throttle it. Don't come down off of it. I said, run that motherfucker right into the boat launch. Because if you stop out in the water to dock at that little stupid pier,
yeah.
I said, we're going to fucking sink. So we end up running right up the ground on there, not full speed, but we ran right up on ground, and he actually got it on the trailer and everything. And the transom never fell off. It was epic.
It was there.
I think he sent us a picture afterwards with the transom off of it. When we left, we went back to his house, dropped the boat off, and I think we got on a plane after that and stayed in George overnight and then flew home the next day. So yeah, it was, I'm telling you, I had the best time I ever had.
Dude, that was so much fun.
Catching black tip sharks off the coast right there.
Yeah. So we went camping at this little island off the coast of South Carolina, right off of Beaufort, South Carolina, right by Paris Island, where the Marine base is, a little island called Capers Island. And it's an island that is getting slowly washed away by the tide. And they have a few buildings, a few camps out there. They're all on stilts.
Camps that they actually claim the land, correct?
Yeah. So they own it, but you can't buy any more land out there. You can't all the properties that are getting washed away. You can't purchase those. I think they could sell them if they wanted to. But you can't build any more out there. You can't. I mean, the island's pretty much gone. You know,
yeah, parts after of it. The last hurricane.
Yep. Oh yeah. So it was fun, man. That was a good time.
That was good, man. That's another one in the freaking record books right there. Dude, that freaking rattlesnake that came into camp. Oh man.
Yeah.
That was good.
Shot him, skinned him, and ate him. Cooked him on some pressure treated lumber. Make him taste nice and sweet.
Yeah, we had clams, shrimp, and rattlesnake that night, dude. That was awesome.
Dude, sleeping under the stars on some random island in the middle of the ocean.
That's it. So, yeah, everything good with you, Steven, or what?
Well, yeah, man. We're just traveling around. We're in Texas right now in Waco. It's trying to set up shop, I think, here. So,
good. Good, man. The new comedy capital of the world, not in Waco, but Texas alone.
Yeah, like Austin, I guess, because with Joe Rogan and everything there, and there's a lot of people in there. But what really, we fell in love with Waco. Just traveling. Well, first we were in California right before Texas. So, you know, travel, we sold our house, got an RV, been traveling around in an RV the last year and a half or so. Got out to California, started in upstate New York, ended up, you know,
started in Watertown, baby.
Yep, started in Watertown. And then a couple months ago, we were in California, San Diego. We went and saw San Diego, Los Angeles, stuff like that. But my God, we had to get out of there. We had to go. Yeah. We're like, all right, where the hell are we going after this? All right, we need to get a far away from socialism and communism as possible. Let's go rinse ourselves off in Texas. Yeah. Let's go wash off with some good American Texas.
That's right, bro. No fucks given. That's what it is.
Yeah, we're here and just kind of getting established. We like it. The area here is nice. It seems like there has been a period of time where this city was forgotten.
Yep.
And everything kind of went out of business. There's a lot of, old factories and warehouses and stuff like that. All these old big brick buildings. And now they're getting bought out and they're turning them into bars, coffee shops, stuff like that. You know, shared office spaces, all sorts of stuff. So it's growing a lot, but the real estate market hasn't been hit as hard as, you know, the rest of the country compared to where we've, visited before. It just seems like it's growing. They have a Top Golf here. They have an urban air, like a trampoline park for the kids. They have a lot of these big things that are popping up, and we're just like, all right, we want to get in on this.
Dude, absolutely. You know, that's good, man. Good. I'm glad you guys are doing well. Everybody's healthy.
We're actually looking at starting a little comedy club here in Waco. So that's what I'd like to do is start something where I can do some events, like with the Chosen thing that I was doing for raising money for Kids of Fallen Soldiers.
Yeah, like well, that. I'll be down. So, I'll sign me up.
Come
sign
on. Me up. Come on down, baby.
I got to have you write some stuff for me, but I'm definitely funny.
You're funny. And you got got the look, bro. You got some nice, you got a nice smile. You got them teeth. Look at those teeth.
Yeah, dude. Listen, it's so funny that you say that. I'm time warp, you know, time.
Yeah.
It's a pub there. The best, actually the number one rated chicken wing in New York State at one point, the Black Betty's. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah. Time warp, you know, Time Warp Tavern.
Yeah, best chicken one wing in New York State.
Chicken wing flavor, yes, correct.
What year are we talking?
Oh, frig, I don't know. They you know how it is.
76.
Yeah, no, it was recent. It was like the last four or five years. So
back in 1492.
Yeah, so they got a band plan, and Katie and I went in. Katie's my wife, and we walked in, and I went to use the bathroom, and Vinny Cappuccetti is his name. He's an unbelievable pianist. Crazy. Plays with his feet and everything. He's fucking nuts. Insane. Oh, yeah. So I can't remember.
In Watertown?
Yeah, in Watertown, yeah. The band retired here. Actually, that night was their last gig.
Plays with his feet. Anyways,
yeah, he plays the fucking keyboard with his feet.
I need to see that. That's nice.
He's got no shirt on. He's got no shoes on. And he'll sit there and he'll be freaking banging the keys. And then all of a sudden he'll literally, I don't know if you're recording this so everybody can see it, but whatever. I'm up right now and he'll sit there like this and he'll be on the top keyboard and he'll be banging the bottom keyboard with his feet. It's crazy. What? Unreal. Yeah. I think it's Vinny Cappuccetti. Anyways, I walk by to go to the bathroom. He's like mid stride, mid song. And he lets the solo take over or the backup singer take over. He's like, man, he's like, you got really nice fucking teeth. He goes, that is a great smile, he says. And I walked to the bathroom, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, what?
And he followed you.
He did. He followed me right there. He wasn't really playing the keyboard. It was on fucking record, you know what I mean? It was like somebody lip syncing, fucking cheater. Yeah, so. Like, yeah, that was.
You have a pretty mouth. Want to go meet me in the bathroom?
Basically. Uh-huh. I said, hey, let me get some of that chapstick off your lips, I said.
That's not chapstick.
No, it is not. No, that's utter bomb that I used on the cow last night.
So tell me about the world of corrections, bro. What you got going on?
It's crazy. It's crazy, man.
Tell me a crazy story.
God, I mean, I've got a bunch of them, but I mean, I can talk about, you know, the 7-inch shank that was in some guy's asshole.
Yeah, tell me that. I want
to
hear about that.
Well, he went to go get stripped, and strip means you're getting stripped down, and you're doing a full, not a cavity search. It's just a sight search of the naked body, basically. Yeah. Let's put it that way. So there's no touching. It's not like a pat frisk when you see on the cop shows where, you know, they pat you down to make sure you don't have any drugs or needles or weapons on you, anything like that. Yeah. This guy's fully butt naked. So in the end, you got to turn around and you have to bend over and spread your cheeks. And when he turned around and spread his cheeks, there's like a half an inch of a white object sticking out of his butthole, out of his anus.
And you're watching, you're witnessing this.
Yeah. So he goes, the other officer says, hey, listen, he's like, you're going to have to give me whatever you have inside of that orifice of yours, he says. And he's like, I don't have anything there. And he's like, listen, bro. He's like, it's literally sticking out of your asshole.
Is that politically correct way to, you're going to have to give me whatever's in that orifice.
Yes, it is. You know, so it's like, hey, listen, bud, you know, fork it over. You know, no pun intended, but he goes, I don't got anything. He's like, listen, bro. He's like, it's sticking out of your butthole. Like it's literally protruding from your anus. And so he's like, he turns around and he starts pulling. I was like, okay, well, it'll be done in a second. And he turns around, so I'm not watching it actually come out of his asshole. And he keeps pulling, and I'm like, what the fuck is fucking going on here? I mean, like, it's past your belly button. At this point. I mean, measure 7 inches from your belly button towards your asshole. I mean, that, like, on a straight line, it's not fucking 7 inches. And he keeps pulling, dude. And it's this, it's like this white piece of fucking, like, plastic that's sharpened to a point.
Oh my God.
He finally goes to hand it to the officer. He's like, I'm not fucking grabbing that thing. He goes, set it on the fucking ground and turn around and don't fucking move. Oh, yeah, that's
like, wait, are you going to put it back in or?
Yeah. So one of the best ones is Katie talks about it all the time. And this is the one story that this was down at Sing Sing. And it's not like a bad story of finding things. It's actually what the guy did. And, you know, you sometimes ask these guys, you know, hey, you know, what the fuck are you here for anyways? You know, your life, like, it's just interesting to me. He's like, well, you know, I killed my wife. He goes, and then I ate her. And I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, conversation over. Like,
yeah, yeah.
good day. Good day, sir. Maybe good day. Abigail, you coming in? Come here. Yeah, she can come in. Ooh, say
special
hi.
Special guest.
Bethany and Abigail.
What's up?
Say hi. Beth, come here and say hi.
Oh, my gosh. She's getting big.
Dude, she's a hefty 32 pounds.
Jeez, that's big. Say hi.
There's Bethany too. She's big.
Oh my gosh. Lacrosse 12. Player.
Yeah, 12 and 2.
Nice.
So we everybody asked us, like, oh my God, you started over? Huh? How could you start over? I was like, well, you know what? Bethany was not planned and she's a godsend. Trust me. Yeah, I honestly, yeah. Steve, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you talking to you right now if we didn't have Bethany. I honestly, I don't know where I would be. I'd probably be dead in the gutter. That's the God's honest truth.
That's how I feel about the military, man. If I didn't do the military thing, I probably would be dead for sure, man.
thank you for your service. Thank you, dude. No doubt about that. And, you know, with this one, we started over and, I always planned it out from the beginning, you know. So now I've got an in-house babysitter, bro, that I don't have to pay.
Yeah, right.
CPR certified and ready to go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, 10 years apart, dude. It's awesome. I see every bit of myself and both of these kids, you know. It's pretty wild.
Too much of me and Eli. It's trouble.
And wait a second. Is there something else that you got going on too, don't you?
What do you mean?
What?
Oh, we got another baby coming, yeah.
I didn't know if you announced it yet.
Announcement, baby, here first. On the Dookie Dialogue. No, yeah, we got another one on the way, another boy. I wanted a girl, but we'll see how this boy thing turns out.
Listen, it's a sponsor break, bro.
Sponsor break.
You know, Craft 836, buddy, on Coffeen Street, the old Saboro's, Mike Saboro.
Oh yeah,
bringing it to us live, man. With the
he actually charges us there. To sponsor as a sponsor.
He
we
charges,
have to pay him.
Yes, he charges us. Yep. Yes, it's a new Italian
deal, dude. It's that new Italian deal.
No, it's actually just it's like a new spinoff of Italian. You know, it's just a bunch of craft foods. You know, it's like craft beer.
Well, I mean, him
food.
Charging us to sponsor to give him a shout out. Let's see.
Yeah,
Italian
dude,
deal.
that's a Jewish Italian, I guess. So, you want your binky, honey? Hold on, she's still here.
You're good.
And so, Craft 836, it's a long name, man, but man, they got great food.
It's a long name.
I told
terrible name,
Craig,
too, man. If they would have just named it something different, like who picked that? Like, did Saboro pick that?
I'm not certain. I don't.
Does he realize that's not our zip code or area code?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's actually the number to the actual building that's there.
Oh, okay.
So it's 836 Coffeen Street.
Name.
Yeah.
Terrible. Hey, don't. If anybody in Watertown's listening to this, don't go there. Terrible spot. They sponsor us, but don't go to like Little Caesars or something. Yeah. Get yourself a good.
Yeah, so listen, man, it's really good. He he had us come in for brunch. He just started brunch a couple weeks ago.
And he charges and his friends extra.
Bro, double. Listen to this. He literally texted us and said, no deals this time. He goes, come for brunch, though. We'll hook you up. Hook you up with what? Hook you up with what? A really expensive breakfast? Yeah. Okay. $60 later just for my bill. It's like 10:30 in the morning and I'm fucking toast after like my fourth Bloody Mary.
Yeah, right.
Nah, honestly though, he's it's a really good business. It's a really good, you know, opportunity where he's at. And also,
I haven't been there. So what is it? The old
it's the old Saboros.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's craft pizzas. It's different, man. It's got a bunch of different stuff on the menu, and especially the brunch. The brunch is huge. I mean, it's so cool. He's got his cousin from New York City, who's like a professional bartender. When I say professional, like legit, spot on. He doesn't do these 1 ounce Watertown freaking pours, dude. He's a 2 ounce New York City fucking pour. Buddy. Yeah. And he'll say that too. He's got a great mustache. This thing's like this thick. And he's got it curled up. It's a good time. It's a good show. You know, TVs all around. You know, the dining room, and it's all automated too. So you actually go in, you get on your cell phone, you pick up where you're sitting. There's like a barcode, a scan code with like the number on it. So you just scan it with your phone. You order the food, and it shows up. You pay your bill on your phone, and you leave. It's awesome. It's really, really cool. So, but yeah, that's our sponsors.
Yeah,
thank
dude.
You, thank you, Center Market, baby. Craft 836. I'm probably getting the numbers wrong too. I'm not 100% certain, but he's still
Craft sponsor, whatever. So. It's Craft Saboro. Yeah.
That's dude, Sabra.
Sabra.
So, yeah.
So, dude, I guess. So with the new restaurant, what it's all pizza still? Still doing pizzas?
No, it's. I'm just gonna dial down the video real quick.
You're good.
And I'm gonna bring up the menu for us here.
Oh, what do we got? Craft 836, Watertown, New York.
It's actually Craft 836 Canteen. That's why I was saying it's the name's way too long, but the food's really good.
So do
that's
they? Why not drop the canteen? No one gives a shit.
I know. Well, listen, dude. That's
are they brewing their own beer then?
No, it's actually their craft cocktails is what they are.
Oh, so it's so just like bullshit advertising and lies.
No. So it's a canteen, man. So I can't say that.
I just want him to hear this and.
Oh, he's definitely. So they've got different style salads. You know what I mean? So like, there's a mozzarella, tomato mozzarella. There's a house style. I can't even say it right now.
Ratatouille,
arancini, crostini, garlic parmesan fries. That's looks like those are appetizers. Berry crostata. That's a mixed berry slab pie.
So they got a good menu.
Yeah, do they got bacon wrapped asparagus for shareables? They've got specialty pizzas, the roasted veggie. They got asparagus prosciutto. Carne. They've got. Listen to this, bro. They got Craig's Buffalo Pizza. So Craig's another one of our good friends, too. One of my best friends. Actually, is my best friend.
Oh, from the... What, did he come up with a recipe or something for them?
No. You would think that he would name a pizza after his kid or something like that. Like Vincenzo or Nico or Nico's Buffalo Chicken. Yeah, but no, he names it after one of his friends, Craig. But anyways...
That's so funny.
So they're like craft-style pizzas.
Okay,
you know,
that makes sense.
So, you know, on top of that, they've got chicken sandwiches, they got ribeye steak sandwiches, they got a fried pork cutlet sandwich, but it's also on their like their homemade bun bread style like buns. So it's a FOCACCIA fukaki or something like that.
All I know is the bukkake. I don't know any of the fukkake or the.
Yeah, I know. So no, they just it's a cool spot, and what it's really there for is Where did you go? There you are.
I'm here, baby.
It's more for their craft cocktails. I mean, that's what they're trying to, you know,
more of a hangout spot than it is like a, you know, grab something to eat quick, like a little pizza, whatever, get some drinks. Yep.
Watch the football game.
Okay.
Watch the basketball game. You know,
what made them, you know, why he revamped that or what?
I'm not certain. I'm not 100. I will never, ever be able to read or get in the mind of Michael Savoro. Love him to death.
True.
Well, I mean, it might be in the market. It might be, you know, coming obviously from his cousin that is actually, you know, the head bar manager there. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's probably too, just time for a change. Just time for something a little different.
100%.
Plus, but I will tell you, with the going out experience being a lot different than it used to be. You know, people want to go and have fun and have an experience rather than just go get a nice meal. You know, it's all about the atmosphere and stuff like that. So,
correct. It's not like going down to Joe's bar for a fucking 50-cent draft night. You know what I mean?
It's
a hangout spot, and you know, it's nice. The atmosphere is good. Again, like I said, it's totally different from anything else in Watertown. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few places opening up there I've seen, I think, that... there's something going on. I heard about something where they were wanting to do... I don't even know. I heard a soundbite. Yeah. They wanted to add something to the community, and someone shut it down, and everyone was all up in arms about it.
I'm not certain. I know Boots Brewing on the Square is one of my favorites. I'm in the Mug Club there. What's it called? A brewery. Boots Brewing.
Boots Brewing. Okay, yes. Yeah, right where that...
It's right next to the Crystal.
Yeah, but what did that place used to be where they had, like, puzzles and stuff? They had they had, like, drum sets and crap in the back there. What was it used to be called?
I don't know.
Where the Boots place is. They used to have...
I know, like, the Golden Lion was around there somewhere where you'd, like, pawn off all your jewelry when you wanted to get some gas money.
Yeah, now you need to pawn off your freaking soul.
Yeah, or a couple kids.
Jesus. I'm like praying. Every time I go to the gas pump, I'm like, please be under at least four, under five.
No, it's not. 429 up here.
Oh, my God, dude. It's 507 for diesel. It was cheaper for diesel for a while.
Yeah, now it's not. It's never. No. Anyways, I'm not getting into politics, but, you know.
No. Well, David Wright, we've been going for about an hour here, man. What do you got? You good or what?
Yeah, we're good. I'm getting away from my wife here. So
yeah, she's ready. They're ready to get you back.
That's right. Absolutely. Listen, dude, let's do this again soon. We will. Soon, next couple of weeks.
We will. We'll do episode four.
Yeah, let's get it as long as we can and go from there, buddy.
All right. Hey, this is David Wright again for episode 3 of the Duckett Dialogue with David Wright.
That's right, baby. Get some. Right. Hey, listen, buddy. Be good. I love you.
Too. Can't be good. Be good at it. Bye.
That's right. Always.